believe it right now, whatever it is that you came here needing today, if you believe it in this house, just raise your hand and call on the name of Jesus one more time. I believe it. I believe it. We claim it. In Jesus' name, in Jesus' name, in Jesus' name. I'll let you go ahead and be seated today. And like Brother Lance had already said, today kicks off our start of commitment week 2024. And I believe that this commitment week is not just for 1 week, but I believe that in 2024, we are committing to going deeper in our walk with God. We talked a little bit in our prayer service last night about we believe that revival is coming to Abundant Life Church in 2024. We believe that this is the year of revival. And so I will say that I am a firm believer in New Year's resolutions. I am a firm believer in setting goals. I believe in personal growth. Many of us start off the new year with similar goals. We may say that we're going to eat healthier and exercise more, take care of our bodies. I started off the new year decreasing my caffeine intake, and that has been tough. It's been a hard-fought battle. I've been drinking half-calf all week, and it's not the same. If you don't believe caffeine's a drug, go without it for about a week, and you start getting withdrawals. But I've made a goal. I'm going to be healthier this year. That's one of my New Year's resolutions. Maybe you've set a goal to make more money this year, to get a promotion at work, or to find a better job. From some people, it may just be all the things that I didn't accomplish last year, I'm going to accomplish them this year. And there's nothing wrong with that. In fact, if we are all honest with ourselves, we probably didn't accomplish all of our goals in 2023. Life happens. Unexpected situations occur. It's just part of life. It's just one of those things. But that should not discourage us from setting goals. That should not discourage us from setting targets that we are trying to meet. But today I want to go deeper than just the it's a new year, it's a new me. I believe 2024 is going to be a year of revival. And just as we set goals in our life for the new year, I believe we should also set spiritual goals. I believe we should cast a vision for ourselves to grow spiritually and to grow in our walk with God. I would love to December 2024 look back and see that, yes, my walk with God has increased this year. I believe that is a great goal to have. And we've got some big things we're going to announce for our Vision Sunday at the end of this month. We're setting big goals here for Abundant Life Church. As a leadership team, we have sat down and we have set goals. We are positioning ourselves for growth. And so this week, we are asking everyone to take part in our commitment week, and we're going to be talking about that today. Be a little bit of teaching to start with, a little bit of preaching thrown in. But I believe that this week we are going to prepare ourselves for Commitment Sunday next Sunday and for communion. I always look forward to communion service as a time of renewal, as a time of, you know, kind of rededicating ourselves to God. And so as I go through this message today, I will be giving you several verses and topics to focus on for each day of the week. We'll also be sharing these on social media, and they'll also be on the screen behind me. And if they're hard for you to read, you can see me after church if you don't get to write them down. But I would encourage everybody to go back and pray over these topics and to pray over these verses each day this week, because our goal of commitment week is to bring us together in unity for God's will. I believe it is very important that, yes, we are all Christians, we are all believers, but I believe it's very important that we align with the vision of the church, that we align with the vision of our pastor, because when we are all together, great things are accomplished. When we are all together in unity, God can work in a mighty way. So the first thing I want to start with, and I do this every year, and some of you may have recall, usually the very first message I preach of the new year is always titled, "It's a New Year, Get Over It." So that's what we're going to start with today. So how about everybody say that with me? Participation time. It's a new year. Get over it. Now, what that means is 2023 is gone. Whatever goals you had in 2023 that you didn't meet, you can't go back and meet them. But what that also means is that any mistakes you made in 2023, they're in 2023. It's a new year. Sometimes we like to hold on to things, and we are bad about, it's our human nature. We're bad about going back and revisiting old things. We need to make a decision today that it's a new year. Whatever happened or didn't happen last year, you know what? I can't go back and change it. I can't go back and fix it. I can't go back and do a do-over. I can't rewind life and say, I'd like to do that one again. But what I can do today is say, you know what? It's a new year. It's a new year. I can commit to God this year. Anything that I didn't accomplish last year, I can do it this year. Because the only way that we move forward is we have to leave the past behind. The only way we can move forward for what God's got in store for this church is we have to leave 2023 behind. And there are a few different definitions of the word commit, but my favorite one is to put into charge or to trust. So this week, when I commit to God, I am putting my life 100% in His hands. If we are going to truly commit in 2024, we've got to let go of some things. We've got to quit trying to fix some things ourselves. 2024 needs to be the year that I say, you know what, God, I turn 100% of my life over to You. I turn my job over to You. I turn my family over to You. I turn my income over to You. Everything, I am putting 100% trust in You this year, God. So this brings us to Commitment Week. So some different things that we are going to be focusing on. Like I said, I would encourage you every day this week, pray about these things, study these scriptures. But the first thing of Commitment Week, the first thing we've got to commit to as a church is unity. If we are not unified in the body of Christ, we will not accomplish what He has in store. A church cannot be divided. A church body cannot be divided. We must be in unity. So the first verse I'm going to give you is Romans chapter 12, verse 18. Romans chapter 12, verse 18. If it is possible, as far as it depends on you, live at peace with everyone. As far as it depends on you, live at peace with everyone. Paul, in his letter to the Romans, urges believers to strive for peace in their interactions with others. Paul suggests a proactive approach to minimize drama, implicating that we are responsible for our part in ensuring a peaceful coexistence with others. It is a reminder that we strive for harmony, acknowledging that while we cannot control what others do, we can control our own actions. You cannot control how people treat you. You cannot control what people say to you. You cannot control what other people do, but you can control what you do. And what Paul is saying is you don't worry about what everybody else has done, but as it concerns you, you make peace with everyone. You strive for peace with everyone. Because our world is divided among many things. Just pick one. We're divided amongst race, politics, culture, economic class, religion, human rights. The list goes on and on, but the church should be the one place in the world that's unified. While everybody else is out there trying to figure out who we're supposed to hate this week, we should be here in the church unified. We should be in here showing love to everyone just like Christ did. What Paul is saying is that we can't control others, but we can and should control ourselves. And I will tell you this, without unity, there will not be growth. Without unity, there will not be growth. Paul was saying that even towards non-Christians, even those that persecute us, believers must demonstrate a forgiving spirit. We must put out empathy, sympathy, and even hospitality to those that may oppose us. Because vengeance is the Lord, not ours. And Christians that have become consumed by all of this hate in the world, we are not, that's not unity. I'll tread lightly here, but it pains me with some of the stuff I see Christians and believers posting on social media about other people. We are supposed to be the examples of unity. We are supposed to show the world that it doesn't matter what your race is, we're unified in the church. We're supposed to show people that it doesn't matter what kind of background you came from, when you come into the church, we're unified. You're my brother, you're my sister. We can leave that stuff out there in the world. So we're supposed to have unity with the people out in the world. We're supposed to reach the people out in the world. And if you hate the people out in the world, you can't reach them. But we must also have unity within the four walls of the church. If we come to church and we walk by certain people, or we can't pray with certain people, we can't talk to certain people, we've got an issue. Don't mean we're all going to be BFFs. We're not all going to be best friends. We're not all going to agree with everything. But drama has no place in the church house. Holding grudges has no place in the church. Teaming up with your little clique to talk about people or to turn them against certain people has no place in the church. Grow up and leave that stuff out in the world. Because I can tell you one thing, in 2024, Abundant Life Church is going to be unified. Like one of my pastor's friends, he said, I've been praying this year for unity in my church. He said, my prayer has been this: God, move the drama out, or move the people out that are causing it. So guess what? That's been my prayer for 2024. Troublemakers want to show up at Abundant Life Church, we're going to start rebuking some things, because we're going to be unified in 2024. If you have not noticed the way the world's going, we don't have a whole lot of time to reach people. And we can't be distracted by fighting amongst ourselves. You see, Satan knows that he has no power over the church, but he knows what he can do is, if I can just stir up a little dissension here and there, if I can just get some people fighting amongst themselves and get them distracted, I don't have to overthrow the church, because guess what? They'll tear the church apart themselves. That's the favorite tool of the enemy, is to get us distracted amongst ourselves. So the first thing we're going to do in 2024 is we're going to commit to unity. Personally, what I'm going to do is say, as long as it attends to me, as long as it pertains to me, I will strive for peace. I can't control everybody else, but I know that my actions, the things that I speak, I'm going to be promoting unity and peace myself. The next thing we're going to commit to is we're going to commit to God's ways. 1 Kings chapter 8, verse 61. 1 Kings chapter 8, verse 61. Let your heart therefore be wholly devoted to the Lord our God, to walk in his statutes and to keep his commandments at this day. If we are to grow in our walk with God, then we need to be fully committed to the things of God. This means that in everything we do, we keep God at the forefront of it. Obedience is paramount in the life of a Christian. Two words that our human nature hates to hear is obedience and submission. Because I want everything to be my way. I want everything to be my choice. I want everything to be my control. But by committing to the ways of the Lord, we are committing to not just picking and choosing which parts of the Bible we would like to follow, but we are committing 100% to the things of God. You see, it's easy to say, well, I like this part, but I don't really like this part. I have no problem committing to this, but that, I don't really care so much about. I don't really like that. I don't really agree with that. No, 2024, we're going 100% in. I'm committing to everything. I'm committing to what God wants. In fact, if you go back and read this full passage, you will find scripture from where Solomon is addressing the people as their king, and he is reminding them all of what God has done for them. He's reminding them of all the blessings that they have done. Solomon reminded the people they must be fully committed to the Lord and obedient to his word. However, we find that Solomon eventually failed to do this himself, and it led to his downfall. You see, Solomon wanted all the blessings of God, but towards the end of his reign, he forgot the other part is that you don't get the blessings without the commitment. And I don't know about you, but I would much rather have blessings. I don't know about you, but I would much rather see Abundant Life Church grow in 2024 rather than shrink in 2024. I don't know about you, but I would like to see this place full in 2024, not empty in 2024. But the only way that's going to happen is when we commit 100% to the things of God and we say these things are no longer optional. So our prayer this week should be, God, renew a hunger in me for your holiness. Renew in me a longing for your righteousness. Renew in me a commitment like I've never had before. Renew in me to the point where I value the things of God above anything else in my life, where the things of God are at the forefront of my life. That is my commitment for 2024. God, whatever your will is, whatever you would have me do, that's what I'm doing. I'm going to quit trying to figure things out on my own. I'm going to quit handing God my plan and saying, hey, could you do it this way? We're throwing everything else out and saying, God, whatever you want, that's it. We're committing to you 100%. Next, we commit our works to God. From Proverbs chapter 16 and verse 3. Commit your works to the Lord and your plans will be established. Now, the biblical Hebrew word for commit is translated as to roll away or to roll over, usually talking about a burden. So what this is saying is that you are entrusting or you're turning your burden over to someone stronger than you. In the Amplified Bible, it is written this way: commit and trust them wholly to him. He will cause your thoughts to be agreeable to his will. So committing our works to the Lord involves a total surrender and a prayerful disclosure of our intentions, plans, and preparations to God. Basically, all of our New Year's resolutions that we make, all of our plans that we make in life, we turn that all over to God. Say, God, this is my plan, this is my resolutions, but if it doesn't line up with your plan, then I need you to fix it. Because I'm turning everything over to you. When we commit our plans and our actions to God, we show a complete trust in him and we acknowledge his presence daily in our life. Also, by submitting our burdens over to God, we free ourselves from focusing on our problems and instead we can focus on God. We trust God because he knows what's best for us. We can be confident that whatever pleases God will also please us because he is always working for our good. So I'll say it again. When I turn everything over I have for God, when I turn everything over I have to him, I no longer have to worry about it. You see, we spend so much time worrying about things that we should be entrusting God with. We worry so much about things that we're trying to fix and things we're trying to accomplish when really we just need to put it in God's hands. We need to roll those burdens over. Picture it as if your burdens are a big stone or a big rock, we need to roll that over towards God and say, all right, God, I am giving this over to you. Charles Stanley put it like this: how do we commit our works to the Lord? Not merely by asking him to bless what we've already done, but by devoting ourselves completely to his plans before, during, and after we have done our work. So in case you haven't noticed yet, everything I've talked about so far comes back to submission to God's will. Submission to God's will. That's got to be first and foremost in our life. So I don't know about you, but there's some things I would like to turn over to God in 2024. How about turn your job over to God this year? How about turn your family over to God this year? How about turn your finances over to God this year and say, you know what, God, I'm putting it in your hands. It is no longer mine, but it is yours. I am giving this over to you because I promise you, God will take better care of it than we will. Start having faith that God is going to do a great work in your life. Start having faith in His will. And I know that can be easier said than done, because like I said, we want to be in control of everything. I want to make my own decisions. I want to be in control. But I tell you, when you relinquish that control to God, it's amazing what He will do in your life. When you quit trying to figure everything out on your own, it is amazing what God will do. Next thing, yeah, I like this one a lot. Next thing we're going to do this year, this week, we're going to commit to not giving up. I don't know about you, maybe 2024 has been great to you. Maybe 2024 hasn't been that great to you. I know we're only a couple weeks in. But I can tell you one thing, we're going to commit to not giving up this year. 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 7, I have fought the good fight, I have finished the course, and I have kept the faith. You see, the race that we are enduring is not a sprint, it is a marathon. There are going to be times that are tough. There are going to be seasons of struggle. But the enemy only wins when you give up. The enemy only wins when you give up. See, Paul did not sail through life on easy street. He compared his life to a race, and he kept the faith, and he contended for the faith, and he persevered in believing the gospel message even when it landed him in prison. By declaring, I have finished the race, Paul was telling Timothy he had put every effort into the work of proclaiming the gospel of Jesus Christ. He had completed the course set before him. He had nothing left undone. He was ready to cross the finish line into heaven. In a normal race, only one runner can win. But however, in the Christian race, anyone who pays the price and doesn't give up is a winner. So I'll go ahead and tell you, it doesn't matter what is thrown at you this year. As long as you are still standing, and as long as you don't give up, you're in the race. It doesn't matter how bad it gets. It doesn't matter how low you get. As long as you don't give up, as long as you are still taking steps forward, as long as you are crawling forward, you're still in the race. So our prayer should not be for an easy life, but it should be for strength through the tough times. Strength through the tough times. Because we were never promised an easy life. We were never promised an easy life once we received salvation, but we were promised that God would always be there for us. Because I look back through some of the lowest points in my life, and I realized when I came out on the other end, it was only through the strength of God that I made it. Because I couldn't see a way out in my situation, but when I came out on the other end, I realized God had been in control the entire time. God knew what He was doing the entire time. So let that be your commitment for 2024. No matter what happens this year, I just refuse to give up. No matter what happens, every Sunday I'm going to walk through that door. No matter what happens, every time I am able to get into this building, I'm going to be here. No matter what happens, I'm going to pray every day. No matter what happens, I'm going to read my Bible every day. Because Satan, I don't care what you throw at me this year, I refuse to give up. I wish some people would just get stubborn and hard-headed this year and say, you're just not going to make me give up. Throw at me whatever you got. I'm just not giving up this year. Somebody needs to go ahead and put the devil on notice and say, you're going to have a bad time this year because I'm not giving up. Throw at me whatever you got, but I refuse to give up this year. At the end of my life, I want to be like Paul and reflect on my past and realize without a doubt I did everything that I could to finish the race. That I gave everything I had to the gospel. Which leads me to our next commitment. And that this year is, I believe, one of the most important things is we are going to commit to spiritual truth. Figured I'd get a few more amens on that. We're just going to stand for what we believe this year. We're just not going to back down from what we believe this year. I'm not saying we've backed down in the past. I believe this church has always been very adamant about what we believe. But I can tell you this year, we're going to commit to it. This year, there will be no doubt what Abundant Life Church believes, preaches, and teaches. There will be zero doubt about our theology. There will be zero doubt about where we stand on doctrine. There will be zero doubt about where we stand on holiness and righteousness. Second Timothy chapter 1, verse 14. Guard through the Holy Spirit who dwells in us the treasure which has been entrusted to you. You see, God gave the deposit of spiritual truth to Paul, and in turn, Paul passed it down on to Timothy. But he was saying, now it's Timothy's responsibility to hold fast to that treasure, the Christian truth that he was entrusted with, but not to only hold fast to the truth, but to continue to pass it on. That's why I said this year there's going to be zero doubt about what we believe in this church, because we've got a generation coming up that we've got to pass it down to. Because one day, our kids that are sitting over there on the front will be the ones leading this church. And we've got to pass down this treasure to them. There's got to be zero doubt about what we believe, because I want there to be zero doubt about what they believe. I don't want them to get into a position of leadership and they're having to figure out what Abundant Life Church believes. I don't want my kid to grow up and to get into adulthood not knowing what we believe. So we're going to start now passing that treasure down to the next generation. In Galatians, Paul spoke very plainly that any preaching that contradicted the gospel of Jesus Christ was to be considered a false teaching. So now more than ever, we must commit ourselves to truth. It's not just good enough to tell people what we believe, but we should be able to show people what we believe. I'm not saying you got to go get a master's in theology, but at some point in your life, you should be able to open a Bible and say, this is what I believe. You should be able to witness to somebody and say, this is why I believe in baptism in Jesus' name. This is why I believe in one God, and his name is Jesus. It's not just something that my pastor told me, but it's something that I got in the scripture and I figured it out for myself. God revealed it to me. It wasn't just because somebody told me, but it's because I saw it. So is there anybody here that will commit to spiritual truth this year? That now more than ever, we will be ready to defend our beliefs. You see, that's one reason we call ourselves apostolic, because we believe we are a continuation of what the apostles did in the New Testament. The things that we teach, the things that we proclaim to believe, are the very things that the apostles taught and proclaimed. It is not time to look for something easier. It's not time to look for a teaching that requires less commitment. In fact, this year we should be looking for more commitment. We should be looking to go deeper in the Word of God. We should look to be committing to being proud of what we believe. Which leads me into our last commitment for this week and for this year, is commit to laboring for Christ. Colossians chapter 1 and verse 29. For this purpose I labor, striving according to his power which mightily works within me. Paul viewed his Christian work along the same lines as Christ's work of purifying and maturing the church. Paul realized that all he had accomplished was not by his own strength, but by God operating in him. Paul realized that truly committing himself to God meant sacrifice. Paul realized that being a true Christian requires work. Being a true Christian requires effort. I will tell you, being a true Christian, being a true apostolic, requires work. Waking up every day, making commitments to do certain things and to live certain ways. To be Christ-like, we've taken the term Christian and watered down what Christian really means. Christian has become a very blanket term without a lot of commitment, but the word Christian is actually full of commitment. It's literally striving to be like Christ, knowing that we will never be perfect, knowing that we cannot obtain perfection, but being a Christian, the literal definition is following after the teachings of Christ. Following after Christ, that's a big commitment. Being Christ-like is a big commitment. It requires work. I believe that God opens doors of opportunity for us And I believe he can open doors that we never would be able to open ourselves when we commit to him. I believe God assists us in accomplishing things that we would never be able to accomplish on our own. But in order that to happen, at some point, we've got to put the effort in. God opens doors, but we're the ones that have to step through them. He's not going to force you to. At some point, we got to put one foot in front of the other and start putting some action behind what we believe. Paul didn't moan and complain about his sufferings, but we find where he actually rejoiced in them because he knew in the end it would all be worth it. So as we start out 2024, we must ask ourselves this question: am I doing everything I can to work for Christ? Am I doing everything I can to labor for Christ? Am I involved in the church, or am I just doing the bare minimum to get by? Am I actually living out what I say I believe, or am I just looking for what's the least that I can do? As Christians, we should be looking for the most that I can do. I don't want to find the line and see how close I can get to it. I want to be so far over the other way I can't even see the line. That's our problem, is too many of us have lived our lives as how close can we get to the line? What can I actually get away with and still be saved? No, we need to have a commitment where we, like I said, we're so far over the line, we're not even close to the fence. We can't even see the fence, we're so far over. If you look at anyone in our movement or in this church or anywhere in your life that you consider a great leader or somebody you consider an elder, a mentor, a minister, successful Christian, they all have one thing in common. That's they dedicated their lives to the gospel. They had a prayer life. They were students of the scripture. They happily gave of their money and of their time, and they sacrificed and submitted to spiritual authority. I have never found anyone that was what I would say a successful minister that did the bare minimum. I've never found anyone that accomplished anything in the church by putting in the bare minimum. You talk to anyone, like I said, any great minister, any great preacher, any great pastor, and you will find how much they sacrificed in their life. I believe God honors sacrifice. I 100% believe that. Don't expect a ministry if you don't put in the effort. And before anyone thinks, well, I'm not called to be a minister, so this doesn't apply to me, everyone who's saved by the Holy Spirit is called to be a minister. A minister is not just somebody who stands up here with a microphone on a Sunday. Last time I checked, in the Great Commission, it said, go ye therefore, no exceptions. There was no exceptions. It was not all the pastors go for and make disciples. It was not all the bishops, all the preachers, all the teachers, all the licensed ministers go make disciples. It was go and make disciples. If you got the Holy Spirit in you, guess what? You're equipped to make disciples. You're equipped to witness to people. But I want to take a minute and just speak directly to people that maybe you feel a call to what we would say formal ministry, people that are on the worship team, preaching, teaching, pastoring. You feel like you're called to a ministry like that. You will never reach your potential in the ministry if you don't put in work. I can promise you that. So I want to end with this today, in closing, for just a few minutes here. How do we commit to all the things we talked about today? All the verses I gave you, all the topics I gave you, I believe we should pray on those, and we're going to study those out, and we're going to have those, we're going to incorporate those in our life. But I want to give you some practical things that how we commit to our walk with God. Because the first thing we have to do is commit to committing. I know that sounds redundant. Because see, a lot of people start off with New Year's resolutions, but not a lot of people start off with New Year's commitments. You see, commitments, there is no way out of a commitment. If you commit to something, you are in it. When we commit to marriage, we're in it for the good times and the bad times, sickness and health, rich or poor, those type of things. I'm committed to my kids. Even if they act up, I don't get to just return them and say, well, I don't like this one anymore. No, we're committed to raising them. You're stuck with them for at least 18 years, maybe longer. That's a commitment. It's not a New Year's resolution to raise my kid. That's a commitment. That's something I committed to. So our New Year's resolution should not be, I'm going to start reading my Bible. We should be reading our Bible. Now, we may say my New Year's resolution is to read my Bible more, but you should already be reading your Bible. A resolution should not be something that you should already be doing. So what I mean by saying we got to commit to commit, we've just got to make up our mind that these things are non-negotiable. That's what commitment this year means, is that these things that I'm about to talk about for just the next few minutes are non-negotiable. They're not New Year's resolutions that I'm going to do for 6 months and then fall off, like my exercise. I might be lucky if I go 6 weeks this year. That's a resolution. That's not a commitment. So here's our commitments for this year. You can write these down if you want to. But my first commitment is church attendance. People have tried to argue this one all the time. I've heard everything. How much do I really need to attend church? How many services I need to actually attend? Do I need to attend everything? Do I need to attend that? I've heard it all. Okay? I'm sorry if this is harsh. I know I'm not the pastor. If this sounds like pastoring, we can let the pastor fix it. But I can't find anything in the Bible that says we're supposed to be alone. Okay? It says, forsake not the gathering and the assembling of yourselves. Right? Okay, we don't keep score here on Sundays about, you know, you missed your, how many services you were supposed to show up for. That's between you and God. But I will say this. If you want a change in your life, commit to showing up to church. Commit to showing up to church when you don't feel like it. Commit to showing up to church when everything in your life is going wrong. I'm telling you, there are some times in my life where this is the last place I wanted to be. But just by showing up, God did something in my life. Start showing up for kids' services. Start showing up for youth services. Start supporting other ministries. I promise you, you can't show up to church too much. I don't know what the magic number is. I don't know if there's a number of you can miss so many services in a year. I don't know. We don't keep track of that. But I will tell you this. If you'll commit to actually just showing up, I think Brother Roberts has said it several times, give it 90 days. Commit to the church for 90 days and just watch what God will do. So that's the first thing we're going to do. We're going to commit to church attendance. Commit to being involved in church. Next thing we do, we're going to commit to prayer. Prayer is something that we must do. Now, again, just like church attendance, I can't find anything in the Bible that says how many minutes you should pray each day. I'll leave that between you and God. But if I was all to ask everyone in here how much you pray, everybody would probably answer, not enough. Some of y'all are laughing. Because we could all pray more. That should be our goal, to pray more. So that's going to be our commitment, is that prayer is not just something we do once a month on Saturdays. Prayer is not just something I do 10 or 15 minutes before church on Sunday, but I'm going to commit to a prayer life this year. Whether that's just starting out with just 5 minutes a day, whatever it is that you start out with, you say, I am committing to prayer this year. How about this? If you're having trouble finding time to pray, pray on the way to work. It's what I used to do. It'll make the day better, I can promise you that. Say, so I'm going to take a week and I'm going to pray on the way to work. I'm going to turn off my favorite morning show. I'm going to turn off the podcast. I'm going to turn off the music or whatever. And I'm going to spend my commute praying. Watch how God will change your attitude at work. Watch how it might change your boss's attitude. Walk into church full of prayer. Walk into your work full of prayer. Next thing we're going to commit to is study of Scripture. The reason I say study of Scripture is because Bible reading should not be something we just check off every day and say, I did it. Okay? I am all 100% on board with Bible reading plans, with devotions, with goals of reading the Bible through in a year. There's plans of reading the Bible through in 6 months. I've seen ones of reading the Bible through in 90 days. I'm all about it. I don't think you can read the Bible too much. But this year, I would urge you to commit to studying the Scripture. Not just reading the Bible where I can check off and say I read my Bible today, but actually take some notes. Study out some things. When you have a question, go research it. We live in a day and age where you no longer have to spend hundreds or thousands of dollars on resources. There are unlimited resources for free to study the Bible now. There are apps you can do, websites you can go to. All these commentaries that used to take up shelves, used to, if you, some of you that have been in church in a while, you'd walk into your pastor's office and have just bookshelves of Bible dictionaries, concordances, commentaries, all that stuff's available in apps now for free on your phone. There is no excuse for us to not study the Bible. Again, I'm not saying you got to go out and get a master's in theology. You don't have to go get your PhD or anything like that. But we should go deeper into our walk with God. I promise you, if you will take time to study the Word, God will reveal things to you. I have started out this year. I went on Amazon and I bought a Bible set. And what it does, it divides each book of the Bible up into an individual notebook. And so, like, you know, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, all of them, I have an individual little book. And so you can write on, it has notebook paper on one side, Scripture on the other. And so I've just started going through that. I'm still not through Luke. I've been in Luke for like a month now. I'm probably not going to hit my reading the Bible through in a year at that rate. But I have learned so much from just going through and just reading Scripture by Scripture and studying. There have been times where in one day I didn't even get through a chapter. But I learned so much, and God has revealed so much to me now when I've started studying the Scripture. So commit to being a student of Scripture. The next thing we're going to commit to this year is giving. See, our New Year's resolution is always get more money. Nobody ever makes a New Year's resolution to give more money. But we're going to commit to giving this year. People probably get tired of us talking about money in the ground, giving around here. But I will tell you, giving is a Christian principle you cannot ignore. Again, I'm not talking about paying tithes here. I believe paying tithes is just something you should be doing anyway. I'm talking about giving. I'm talking about sacrificing. Not the minimum we should be doing, but how much can I give and give cheerfully? And I will tell you this, giving works. I have proved it in my own life. Not because I'm rich, not because God has miraculously made expensive cars appear in my driveway, not because I've gotten a $10,000 surprise check in the mail. None of that's ever happened to me. But I can tell you one thing, I've never gone without. God's always supplied my needs. See, sometimes we get hung up on the blessings part, and we don't realize how many blessings we've actually received. Some of y'all have been there. Some of y'all have been through some tough times when the bank account don't add up. When you start writing checks knowing there's no way to cover them, but somehow they clear. When you don't know how we're going to have money to buy groceries, but somehow you end up with groceries. Because God always supplies our needs.
God supplies us with new microphones when the old one starts to die. So I will tell you this, in tough times, I've never gone without. Never one time have I had to worry about them coming and getting my car. Never one time have I worried about, what are we going to be able to eat tonight? Am I going to be able to feed my kids? So yeah, God has not made me rich. God has not blessed me in those types of needs, but I have absolutely been blessed.
I'm going to play hot potato. Anybody else want a microphone? I'm going to pass them around. But I'm telling you, don't give expecting blessings and riches. Give because what God has given us. I'm going to choose to bless others because how I have been given. And I will tell you this, watch how God blesses you spiritually when you start giving. You see, a lot of times we focus on the monetary blessings, but God will also bless you spiritually when you get that spirit of giving about you, when you give freely. And I will tell you this again, to those in here, maybe some young people in here thinking about pursuing ministry, if you want to have a successful ministry, if you want to have a godly ministry, you better give. You better give. I have never met a preacher or a pastor that I looked up to that didn't give sacrificially and give unconditionally. Because God honors giving. And so the last one I want to talk about is sacrifice and fasting. And the reason I combine these last two is because I believe they go in hand in hand. I believe in fasting. Again, how much you fast, how often you fast, that's up to you. I believe we should all be fasting. There's all different ways that we fast. Maybe it's just a meal. Maybe it's giving up your favorite drink for a week. Maybe it's restricting your diet. Whatever it is, but fasting will bring you closer to God. And the reason I say sacrifice is because I believe there's also times where we should sacrifice things. Give up some things for a week. Get off social media for a week or two. Sacrifice Netflix for a week or two. Sacrifice entertainment. Put some things aside and watch what God will do in your life. So as I get ready to close here, as I get ready to wrap up, here's what we're going to do today. In fact, everybody, if you would just go ahead and stand, here's something we're going to do. First off, I can tell you this, not going to embarrass anybody. Not going to pass out pledge cards. I'm not going to ask you to sign a commitment paper. I'm not going to ask you to raise your hand to commit to these things. But what I want to ask you to do, everybody in this room, from the youngest kid to the oldest adult, what I'm going to ask you to do is everything that we have talked about, I'm going to ask you to take a few moments and answer God. Now, I'm going to ask you a question. You don't answer me. This is between you and God. These questions right here, we're going to take a few minutes and we're going to answer God on these. First off, I think you need to take a moment and ask God, what do I need to sacrifice this year? Because I believe sacrifice is different for everybody. Okay? So the first thing we're going to do, ask God, what do I need to sacrifice this year? What do I need to get out of my life this year? Second thing we're going to do is we're going to say, God, reveal to me the things I'm not fully committed on. Maybe I thought I was committed on this and I really wasn't. Maybe I need to do better. But God, reveal to me some things I need to commit on. What are some things I need to do better? And the next thing we'll say, God, give me strength. God, give me strength to do these things because just like Paul said, I can't do this on my own. I need help on all these things. All these things we've talked about today, I can't do them on my own. I need God in my life. So that's the things I want us to do is right now, before we open up the altar, we're going to open up the altars. We will do prayer needs. We'll do all that. But before we do anything else, I want everybody in this room for just a few moments, take some time with God and ask God those things and truly pray about commitment. Let's all do that for just a few minutes and say, God, let's refocus and say, you know what, God, I'm committing this year. God, if you reveal it to me in prayer right now, it's committed to you. God, right now, if you tell me to give it up, I'm giving it up right now. God, I am not walking out this door until I commit to you. God, I am leaving 2023 in the past. I am leaving and walking out the doors today 100% bought in. There is nothing that is going to shake me this year. There is nothing that is going to put me down this year. God, I am 100% committed to you. So one more thing before these altars open, this was not in my notes, something I just feel like. Talking about commitment. As these altars are open, we're going to open up these altars. If you need prayer, you can come. But one more thing I want to do, talking about commitment. If there's something you need to remedy today with somebody or something or something in this church, like I said, we want unity in this building. We want unity in this church. We want commitment in this church. If there is something you need to do, somebody you need to talk to, somebody, whatever, don't leave here today without doing it. So as these altars open, I just felt like saying that. I felt like God is speaking to somebody. Don't leave here today with anything that's going to take away from your commitment in 2024. It doesn't matter what it is. It don't matter if it's something in your life. It don't matter if it's a grudge. It doesn't matter what it is. But I am committing 100% right now. As they get ready to play and sing, let's not hurry out of this place today. Let's spend some time with God and say, 2024 is my year. 2024 is the year of commitment. I'm going to look back 5, 10, 15 years from now, and I'm going to remember that service in 2024 when I gave everything to God. That was the day that I made a 100% commitment. That was the way that I turned my life over 100% to God, and it has done nothing but gone up since. I'm going to look back on this day on 2024 and say, that's the day when God spoke to me. That's the day when God gave me my calling or revealed my calling. That's the day that God put a burden on me for ministry. That's the day that God put my relationship back together. That's the day that God gave me the financial blessing that I need. That's the day that I got the healing that I needed, because I didn't leave this place without committing to Him.